Listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you are richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Josh Vietti.
So cool, man. I like babies. I didn't know how much I liked them until I had a couple. You know what I mean? So much fun. I was spending time with my family this morning. This is nice about doing third service. There's so much more time, right? We have figured it out. The third service, folks. If you're new to the third service, we're better. All right. Kidding. I'm joking. So this morning, we're going to continue our sermon on learning to love. And this is what life is about, right? It's about love. The church should be known by our love, right? That's how we should be known. Not by gossip, not by fighting, not by flipping each other off in the church parking lot. I'm not talking to anybody individually. Have you ever done that? Anybody here? Has anybody ever done that? I've been flipped off in the parking lot. I'm kind of a bad driver, though. That's the problem. So we're going to talk today, Learning to Love. This is part three, the elements of love. And seriously, thank you guys for coming tonight, or today, this morning. It's not nighttime. But thank you for coming this morning. Thank you for getting up and bringing your family and being together. Because what's cool about church, right? And maybe you're here for the first time, right? Maybe you're here, maybe you haven't been in a long time, but you're back. We're all a work in progress. This is the shop today. We're coming in, and some of us, our engines are pretty beat up, and so we're going to work on it today, together. That's what this is. And so if you're feeling like you don't belong based on what you've done or who you know you are deep down, you belong more than you know, more than you know. We're all in it, and it's been a rough couple of years, right? A really rough couple of years. And so one of the things that I like to do is I like to go back to the most important parts of Scripture and ask myself if I'm doing it right. And when I evaluate myself, I realize that there's a lot that I need to work on still. And it's the basic stuff that gets us to a deeper relationship with God and with one another. And so in talking about love today, and we're going to finish up next week, and I got an extra weekend on this series, which I was excited about, and today is going to be the extra one. But next week, I'm going to talk about loving the one you're with, your mate. And so the following day is Valentine's Day, so giving you guys a heads up, if you haven't made reservations, I just realized I haven't made reservations. Okay, all right, talking to myself. So let me ask you first, let's pray, and then I'm going to start it, and we have some videos and some fun stuff. But we're going to have a good time, but we want to learn. And my goal is to get you thinking. That's it. That's my goal. My goal is to get you curious about God. That's it. My goal is to remind you that he's good, that he loves you, that he cares about you, that he actually wants your life to be good, that he wants you to be healthy, that he wants you to wake up and not be stressed out by 10 a.m., right? He wants you to breathe. He wants you to move. He wants you to move in rhythm. And then at one point, he's just waiting for you in heaven, and he's like, come on in. That's what he wants. He wants relationships, and he wants us to grow as individuals, and he wants the church to grow, right? And so let's just pray this. Father, we thank you for who you are. And God, I just pray, Lord, that you take our hearts today and clean them. Clean them. Let us be like those drive-through car washes today. That's what church is. We're cleaning our hearts. We are realigning our minds. Help us to put our priorities in order. Help us to put loving you at number one. Loving our neighbor at number two. Loving the people around us, God. Just help us to be people who don't stress and worry and have anxiety and crippling effects because of what we do to ourselves, Lord. Let us be free and let us be healthy people, and let us move toward you instead of falling backwards. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 All right. So, I got a question for you today. How fast are you moving in life? It's funny. As human beings, we're kind of obsessed with speed. Do I have any speed freaks in here? Any car guys? Yeah. What about motorcycle guys? Any motorcycle guys? Yeah, yeah, me too. You're both. All right, that's good. Like to go fast, like Ricky Bobby. I get it. All right, cool. I have maybe, I don't know if my dad's listening. I've been over 100 miles an hour on a motorcycle before, and it's a, don't tell him if he's not listening. It was one time, Dad. It was one time. It's a bucket list thing. It's fun, man. It's fun. It's fun. I was far away from any police officer, and I will deny it after this, so. But I like going fast. Going fast is fun. It's a lot of fun, and I love motorcycles. And I was looking up some of the land speed records. Some of you guys know this, some of you don't, but out in Utah, they have a place called Bonneville Salt Flats, and they have world speed record trials there. And on the motorcycles, I think the fastest now, the current, I wrote it down, is 376 miles on a motorcycle on two wheels. That's nuts. That's crazy. And that's impressive, but, I mean, the technology they have now, the aerodynamics, just like the way that they build these motorcycles, it's insane. But what really impresses me is the old motorcycles and how fast they went back in the day on these old motorcycles. There's a movie came out a while ago with Anthony Hopkins called The World's Fastest Indian. It's about this guy, Burt Munro, and at 68 years old, okay, on a 47-year old garage modified 1920 Indian Scout, okay, old bike, 1920 bike, in 67, he broke the record. And he went 183.93 miles on a 1920 Scout it was just a passion project. At 68 years old. So go ahead and show the slide for those of you that care. This is what the motorcycle looked like as it was going. This is a shell to make it more aerodynamic. And then you go to the next slide. That's what it looks like inside. So Bert worked on this in his garage. You can go ahead and watch the movie. But he built this thing. And the original speed of that motorcycle stock in 1920 was like 87 miles per hour, which is fast in 1920, right? But he worked on this thing and got it up to 187 miles per hour. That's crazy. There's one more picture of old Bert at 67. Look at this guy. That's a man right there, right? Look at that dude. Says, you live more in 5 minutes flat out on a bike like this than most people do in a lifetime, Burt Munro. So let me ask you guys, what's the fastest you've ever been on land, all right? Think about it. What's the fastest? What's the fastest that you don't want to tell your mom about? My mom's back there. I forgot about that. Oh, no. That's not good. She's gonna yell at me. But the fastest you've ever been, okay, I know the answer, is right now. It's right now. We're going faster. We're going much faster than Burt Munro. We're going much faster than all these guys out there in their little speedy cars that think they're fast. We're all traveling right now. We're traveling 667 miles per hour right now. The Earth is traveling that fast around the sun. And while that's happening, it's spinning at a rate of almost 1,000 miles per hour. So no wonder you're dizzy. Right? We're moving that fast right now. And what's crazy is that God created the heavens and the earth this way, where the earth moves so fast, and through that speed, we get time. And we get days, and we get hours, we get minutes. And how many of you guys are with me that it seems like time is speeding up? Right? Technically, they say it is, which is a whole other thing. It's a whole other rabbit trail that you guys can go Google later. But no matter how you feel, you have to play this game of keeping up. Right? There's a reason why Starbucks is like the longest line in town, right? You think it's In-N-Out, but there's two In-N-Outs in town. There's like 15, 20, 30 Starbucks. Starbucks is killing it, right? Because we're trying to keep up. We're trying to keep up. How many of you guys wish? I used to have this fantasy that if the genie came and gave me three wishes, my first wish would be that I could stop time and take a nap. I'm sleepy sometimes. But how nice would it be to be able to stop time and control it and say, you know what, I'm just going to chill out for a minute. I'm going to step back. But we can't do that. We cannot control time. But what we can do is we can use it wisely. And we can rest when we need to. And we can spend our time with the people that we know we need to spend it with. I'm going to show you guys a couple of videos. Originally, I was going to call this message Loving the Church, but I changed it to Elements of Love because we are the church, and it just made more sense. But if you gave your life over to Jesus, you started living for him. But a lot of us don't realize that commitment, it marries us to the church as well, to each other. Whether we want to be connected or not, a healthy Christian life is only healthy when we're connected with each other. So if you don't have relationships with people from the church, and I don't mean people that just attend VBF, I mean people that are also Christians, okay? People that also have faith. If you don't have relationships with people that have faith, then you're missing out, and you're not as healthy as you could be, and that's just the way it is. I talked about last week my friendships and my relationships, and honest to God, he knows better than anything. I would not be here right now if it wasn't for the relationships that God has put in my life. And he does. He brings them to you. And if you are not connected, then that means that you haven't taken advantage of the opportunities you have to get connected, okay? If you want to get connected, ask God for an opportunity to serve, okay? Guarantee you, you're going to get connected with somebody. I guarantee you, you're going to get connected. If you're not connected, ask God who you need to encourage. Reach out. Be bold. Be courageous. You guys, sometimes, this guy right here that likes to go fast, that's looking down, we're fearless people sometimes, aren't we? We are fearless people. But why can't we be fearless people when it comes to reaching out to somebody, saying, I love you, giving somebody a hug, encouraging somebody? Why can't we be fearless in that respect? That's what I want to do. So the guys made a video, What is Church? And I wanted to add a part to it. So I tried to make a video this morning. Didn't turn out too well. I'll show you that first. So go ahead and roll that video. Okay, the first question is, what is church?
What is church?
What is church?
It's a place that you go for you to learn about Jesus.
That's right. It's also a group of people that love Jesus.
Yeah.
What do you like the most about church?
I like that you go to class and learn about Jesus.
You like that? What's going on, Romy?
Yeah, welcome.
We were making a video. Hey, come here, Romy. We're making. Okay, drop it. What does he have? Oh, drop my socks, buddy. Hey. Drop my socks. Okay. So that was literally my morning. But I'm trying to teach my kids what church is, right? It's a place you go to learn about Jesus, but it's also the relationships that we have. And I thought that was really funny. I thought you guys would appreciate it. But if I miss out on anything this morning, it's because I was at home loving my family this morning, all right? But I love those kids, and I love my family. And when I feel like something is pulling me away from them, that's my first level of church, I guess. That's my first church, is my home. It should be a sanctuary. It should be a safe place. And it should be a place where we learn about God. It's funny, I was a youth pastor for a number of years, and I remember parents would always be frustrated with me because we weren't teaching them about Jesus enough. And I would always tell them, that ain't my responsibility. My responsibility is to love them and let them know there's other people teaching about Jesus. That's your responsibility to teach them. I've been trying to remember to pray with my daughter, my older daughter, every night. The younger one doesn't want me around until morning, so that's fine. But I'm trying to teach her that God protects us, that he looks out for us. And those things stick, man. And so I'd encourage you guys to do that. So the guys went out around town, and they actually shot a video of What Is Church with random people, which is nuts. So let's go ahead and watch this one.
Someone says the word church, I think of worship. I think of people coming together under the same purpose to kind of just have like a simple, what's the word? To like just share their own beliefs and passions.
Maybe morals. The first thing that comes to mind, one word, morals.
That's not right for my religion. We call it a temple.
It's a place where people who follow Christ gather together.
God, I guess? That's the first thing, church and God. Those are two things that I think go together when I think about that.
Yeah, I think of like a group of people who are gathering to, perform some religious activity.
A building where you behold a higher entity, I guess.
Community.
Religion.
I think of my God and then praying. And then we have a Sikh temple in Bakersfield. It's on the sign. It usually just involves me getting together with all my family, and we just sit there and we just don't talk and we just sit.
If someone invited me to church, it does depend just on the church itself. I've been to a few churches. It just kind of depends on the environment of the church itself.
It depends. Not every church is built the same. So I had to find out who's leading it, who's directing it, and then that'll indicate if I'm going to go and hang out with those folks.
Yeah, sure. I go all the time, actually. Yeah, I've gone. Because I'm Catholic myself, but I've had friends invite me to like Christian or Baptist things, and I've gone.
Yeah. I think it would probably depend on the church. Like, I've been to some before, and so I'd probably want to try going to something I hadn't been to.
Probably not.
I'm not religious, but sure.
It would depend on what type of church. I would probably ask more specific questions because I'm a very spiritual person, but I'm not a religious person.
Yes, I would go.
Yes, of course, yeah. When I grew up, I went to different kinds of churches with my dad because he volunteers a lot, so I would totally go.
So a lot of people have a lot of different opinions about church. I'm sure you've talked to people that don't go or aren't involved in church, and they'll all have different opinions, right? But my heart and the way I see church, and it's probably important for you to know this as a pastor, is yes, VBF is a place to go and come to our church. This is a place to go, but the whole point of it is to just connect with people and to build those relationships. Really, I mean, that's the point. And to foster those relationships. And so everything I do in the future will be based around that, around relationships, because that's what God called me to do. That's what he told me to do in the beginning. And so I was thinking about all the things that I've learned over the years. I've been doing this since, started in youth ministry back in, I'd say more officially like 2001. So it's been over 20 years. And so through that time, I've had a lot of ups and downs, but God has taught me some things that have just stuck. And so I was praying about the elements of love and what the church kind of looks like. And I reached out to an artist friend. Thank you, Bailey Lane, for drawing this. And I had her draw this up. A lot of times we do PowerPoints, but I thought, man, in Jesus' day, they didn't have PowerPoints. They didn't have lists. They didn't have books. They had pictures. And so I think that this is easier to understand based on pictures because the center and the core of the church is love, right? The center and the core of the church is always love. If you guys ever wanted these pictures to you can reach out to me on Facebook or you can email me. My email is connected to the church website. So it was funny. I was thinking about it the other day, and I was thinking, like, as a pastor, I don't get a lot of criticism. Is it because I'm such a nice, cool guy? No, I don't think so. I think it's because I preach love all the time, and love's hard to argue with, you know? And so if you're having a lot of arguments with people out there, just preach and show love. And I'm not always the nicest person in the world, but when I catch that I'm not being nice, I always go back to those people and always try to fix it because relationships are so important. They're the core. They're the most important part of what the church is. It's love. It's love. It's love. It's love. And for men, I think sometimes we think of love as a feminine thing, but it's not. It is not. It is not. If anybody has ever been in a drug house and tried to get people out of that house, it's not a feminine thing at all. It's a place where you, love leads us to dangerous places, and love leads us to do things that we wouldn't normally do, right? Love is everything. It's the most important thing. And loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind. If you didn't catch the last couple sermons, just kind of building on that. 2 weeks ago, I talked about loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Jesus said that is the most important thing, but he also said loving your neighbors yourself. And so love is huge. It's everything, right? Look at John 15:13. It says, greater love has no one than this, that somebody lay down his life for his friends. Jesus is talking to the disciples at this point, and he did this for them. He did this to them. He did this with them, right? And John wrote this, and John was actually the closest to Jesus. Now, I don't think he understood that at that point. He understood it, though, after the cross. He understood that Jesus was living his life to lay it down for his friends. And that's a true hero story. That's why we love that story so much. When we watch a movie and there's a hero who lays their life down, and they end up dying, but they save somebody else. We're so drawn to that storyline because that's the storyline of God. That's the storyline of Jesus. That's the storyline that he has written for us. We're part of that story too. And so love is the center point, okay? And if you ever float away, you ever get confused, you ever get distracted, you ever find yourself in a place where you don't know what to do to get back on track. I've met people recently that are pretty far out because they started doing things that they know they shouldn't, and then that led them to do things they know that they shouldn't, which cause them to think, I can't even do right if I want to. And what happens is you go downhill. Life is kind of like a mountain, isn't it? It's kind of like a hill. And you're either working hard and climbing that hill toward the light, or you're letting go and you're letting the devil have his way and you're falling toward the darkness. And so if you find yourself in that place, always go back to love. Always go back to saying, I mean, literally sitting there and praying. I don't know how to pray. Okay, start with this. God, I love you. Or if you don't feel it, be honest, because he knows. Start like I did when I was young and say, God, I know I'm supposed to love you, and I don't love you as much as I should, so please put that love in my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night. You keep doing that, you'll be shocked at what he does. So love, 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 love. So the next level is relationships. Okay? Relationships. And there are two key relationships we've been talking about. First is the relationship with God. And I've noticed that a lot of people will get confused, even when they're in the church, about their relationship with God, because it starts to become a master-slave or a boss and a worker kind of relationship, where they're more worried about doing things for God than they are with spending time with God, right? It's easy to get too caught up in serving. And so another thing that I'm going to think about in the future is how can we make serving at VBF and serving in the community sustainable to where you are still having plenty of time with your family and still having plenty of time to spend with God. Our priority should be, number one, relationship with God. That means sitting down and just spending time with them, right? When my little kids, when they just want me, I don't care if they're doing it right. Do you see what I'm saying? So I don't think God cares if we're doing it right. He just wants us to want him. Right? So relationships. Second part of that is relationships with each other. And that should overflow out of our relationship with God. If I spend time with God, he always puts someone on my heart. And I've been trying to reach out to people when he does it. And it's amazing how many people come back and say that you don't even know what was happening in my life when you reached out to me. And I'm like, I don't, but apparently God did, right? Apparently he did. To encourage people, it's so important to just have the courage to encourage. You know that that sign out on the front of the building out here, it says encourage, right? And a lot of us have wondered what that is, and that's kind of more of a mantra for us at this point. And what it means is it means that we live to to receive from God and encourage others. Like, that's our whole purpose. That's what we live to do. And that also takes courage, right? How many of you guys would be honest today and say, hey, I've got a fear, you don't have to raise your hand or anything, but I have a fear of rejection. Let's take that fear, let's put it on the ground, and let's stomp it and be done with it, because who cares, right? Who cares? Instead, have a fearless attitude and say, you know what, I'm going to encourage somebody. If they don't get back to me, whatever, man, whatever. Live like a crazy person. Those people out on the street that are screaming and yelling, I don't know what they're thinking or what they're doing. They ain't worried about what people think, that's for sure. Let's go crazy for Jesus, right? John 8:32 says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. 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 How many of you have ever been in a place where you felt like you were not free? Like you were stuck. And you blamed it on somebody else, or maybe it was your own doing, right? And you know it. I've been in a place where I have felt like I was a slave to sin. I was a slave to actions, to bad habits, to things that I knew I shouldn't be doing. And you know how I fixed that? It was through prayer and doing the right thing, right? When you pray, it is pray, listen, obey. Pray, listen, obey. I keep saying this over, pray, listen, obey, which is very simple. It's not hard. You pray, okay? You listen, okay? With your heart, really. I'm not talking about God speaking to you audibly. That hasn't happened to me, but in our hearts, he'll put the right thing in your heart to do, and then you do it. It's easy. It's easy. Let that be your obsession, right? So the truth sets us free. So as a church, what we should be doing in our relationships is we should be telling each other the truth in love. In love. Not like you look fat in that dress kind of truth, but the kind of truth that matters. Right? There's a difference between blunt and rude and moronic, and I've fallen on that, on the other side of that line before too many times, because I just have a mouth. And my parents, when I was little, they had to teach me how to be evasive, and what that means is not telling people everything in the world. And because I'm an open book. My wife's still telling me the same thing. Just, Josh, you don't have to say everything that comes to your mind. I'm like, well, it's more entertaining. But no, that's not loving. What is loving is when you tell people, hey, I see you slipping. I see you hurting. I want to be there to help. How can I help you? How can I help you? And if they don't take you up on it, guess what? They just didn't take you up on it today. Doesn't mean they won't tomorrow. They might think about you first, because maybe you're the only person in their life that has said that to them. You guys want this church to grow. You want your neighbors, your family to come. You want them to fall in love with Jesus. What we need to do then is, if we need to fall in love with each other, we need to be a people that look out for each other, have each other's backs, right? We need to say, hey, within these walls, there is no cancel culture, right? There is no canceling whatsoever. We bring the clean in as well as the dirty, but I haven't seen the fully clean yet, unless they are in the moment and giving their life to Jesus, you know? None of us are fully clean all the time, but man, God is good. He really is. So relationships and truth. And then the next ring is, the church should be free. We should be living in freedom. That's the goal, right? We should be so free and so happy and so pumped that everybody wants to be involved, you know? Galatians 5:1 says this. It says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Yeah, just keep that up there for a second. For freedom, Christ has set us free. But so many people don't believe that. They think they're still stuck. They think that they cannot make it. They think they cannot do the right thing. They're standing there in the dungeon with chains around them that have been broken off. They are free and the door's wide open, but they're still there because they've been so used to being stuck. And they're afraid of what's outside that door. God is a God of courage, right? When God told Joshua after he was taken over, after Moses died, when they were leading the children, they had already led the children out of Egypt, and that was out of slavery. And a lot of that story represents kind of our walk with Christ. But as Joshua was about to take over, God kept saying, be strong and courageous. And then he said, he told him why. He's like, be strong and courageous, for I will be with you. I'll be with you. I'll be with you. God says, I will be with you. How many of you guys, like, that thought of God being with you all the time, how many of you does that scare you a little bit? And how many of you does that encourage you? Right? Well, here's the thing. He loves you in the bad times, and he loves you in the good times the same. And his heart is that he wants you to heal, and he wants you to be healthy. I think I just heard my kids say, Daddy, you get those radar ears. You guys didn't hear it. I heard it. She's back there. So the church leads us to freedom, Galatians 5:7. So freedom, for freedom Christ set us free, right? It says, you were running well. Who hindered you? Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Who was it? If you're off track right now, whose fault is it? Whose is it? Is it somebody else's? Ah, it's you, right? It's the person in the mirror. People ask me, well, who are you afraid of the most? I'm like, that other guy that's living inside of me that raises his head occasionally. I'm trying to kill that guy. Right, that's who I'm afraid of the most. But who hindered you from obeying the truth? Why wouldn't you follow the truth? It just makes sense, right? Galatians 5:13-15 says, for you were called to freedom, brothers, sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. This is simple stuff. This is what we're called to do. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Right? But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. That is a sobering thought. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. You bite somebody, they will bite you back. You gossip about people, they will gossip back. You have no grace and no mercy on people, they're not going to have mercy on you. Right? I believe in grace, and God gives it, and forgiveness and restoration, but I also believe in consequence. And when you don't love the people, if you don't do the first thing you're supposed to do, loving the people around you, you're going to be in a bad place. Like, it's not about how many people love you. It's about how deep your relationships are that God has brought into your life, right? And how much you have watered those and how many seeds you've planted and how much time and effort you've put in. And honestly, there's nothing better in life, right? It's like, what would you rather do? Die, like, be gone with millions of dollars still in the bank? Or would you rather die and the people are talking at your funeral saying, that person loved me, and because of them, I'm going to move forward? I've been to so many funerals and spoke at them, and there's such a difference when it's a believer's family, because that family rallies around a tragedy, and they take what that person did that was good, and they use that as encouragement to move forward. That's the kind of life I want to have, right? Well, at my funeral, I hope people say, you know, Josh looked out for us, and so I'm going to look out for them. But it's hard. You got to balance. Family first. People living in your home. That's the first one. You're married. You know, you're not happy with your wife or your husband. Figure it out, man. You're there. You love the one you're with. What was that old country song? If you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with, whatever. It's a choice, man. It's a choice. You wake up in the morning, and if you start acting out love, one day you're going to wake up in the morning and realize the gifts that you actually have been given. How many of us take for granted what we've been given? Gosh, man, and there's spouses, but then there's children. How many of you guys have children? And I know that there's people in the church that don't even have a relationship with their children. Gosh, I hope and pray that you are praying and doing whatever you can to make sure that you have that relationship, because they need you. They need you. Doesn't matter how old they are, they need you. I want to do better than my parents did, and I want my kids to do better than I did. I want to pass it along. I did this teaching one night. It was a Wednesday night. And I got all these, I got a bunch of people up here. And it was like, I can't remember the number, but I counted off the generations from Jesus till now. And I had them link arms, and it was fewer than you would expect. It was like 40, 50, can't remember. But they linked arms across the stage. And I remember I said that if one generation failed to pass it along, then the rest of these people wouldn't know Jesus. And look, my dad and I have had a lot of conversations about what we believe and how I'm a little bit different than him. And what's cool, what's really cool about us is that we're able to have those conversations, you know? And so there are things that I believe that are a little different than him, but the core is the same. The core is love, and the core is Jesus, and the core is he is the Savior, right? And I'm going to teach that to my kids, and I hope and pray they teach it to their kids, because that's how it passes along, right? There's truth in this book. There's truth in a God who loves us in this story that we find ourselves in. I have this idea that I haven't really developed yet, but I'm working on it. And I think that a lot of us grew up in church under a lot of rules, whether they're spoken or unspoken. I don't know. But there were rules, and people believe to this day that if you don't follow one of the rules, then you're not good enough. You don't belong here. And that's the devil, right? He exploits that. There are a lot of ignorant Christians out there that are spreading, you know, you better do this, you better do that, or else. And I don't believe that. I like to think differently. I don't like to think in black and white. You did this, you're out of the tribe. I like to think of, if you're in the tribe, we're stuck with you, and we have to deal with it. And I like to believe that we are all on this road where we are struggling, working to go toward the light, right? And we need to encourage each other. And it's either we're either moving toward the light or we're falling toward the darkness, right? Moving toward the light, falling toward the darkness. And it's a daily thing. It's a daily choice. And I might wake up tomorrow and choose to work hard toward the light, but something might happen and I might stumble back. And I hope and pray that my friends are there. I hope and pray that you are there. I hope and pray that my family's there, right? And I need the encouragement to get back up and to keep going. We all do. And if we band, the devil hates this message, by the way, because if we band together in unity under the context of love, then there's nothing this church can't do, okay, as a people. And so let's commit to that. Let's commit to each other. So I'm gonna have them play a video. It's noon. You guys are dismissed. You can go if you need to go. I think the Pro Bowl's on today. Who cares? If you guys have plans, please go. It is late, but if you want to stay and worship, stay and worship. Prayer people can come up, and you guys can come up and get prayer. Look, we're all in this. I hate to say this, we're all in this together. We are. That slogan's been used in a weird way. But we need to look out for each other. Okay, that's what we need to do. That's what we need to be known for, no matter what. Even if you don't like the person. Love you guys.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is